Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. And most recent scores I'm going to give you quick as we're going on the air at the end, beginning of the second half. Marquette is up by 9. Marquette is up by 9, the Marquette men. This morning, the Marquette women played. They played a valiant game. Sadly, they lost in overtime. It was a valiant effort. And my hat's off to the Marquette women. And in particular, I want to acknowledge Chloe Murata. I know and knew Chloe's parents well. And I know Chloe. She's a terrific player. Really helped the team. They have a great team. So hats off to the Marquette women, and hopefully the Marquette men win today and go on and end up in the Sweet 16. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to throw out a quiz, St. Patrick's Day quiz. Not really a St. Patrick's Day quiz, just a quiz. Anybody knows the answer, they can call me. And if you don't know it, I will let you know it as we get into the show. I'm going to name three eminent Wisconsin statesmen. Governor Pat Lucey, after fighting Bob La Follette, probably the best governor our state's ever had. Senator Bill Proxmire, William Proxmire, my mentor and one of the greats. He served in the U.S. Senate for Wisconsin for 30 years, a little over 30 years. And Gaylord Nelson, another great senator who was also governor. He was governor. Started out his career as a Republican. And in 1949, at that great convention in Green Bay where the Progressive Republicans merged with the Democratic Party, he led the Progressive Republicans, and Proxmire and Pat Lucey led the Democrats. I knew all three of these men. I knew them well. And here's the quiz. Other than the fact that they were all Democrats, what else did they have in common? Other than the fact that they were all Democrats, what did Pat Lucey, Bill Proxmire, and Gaylord Nelson all have in common? Okay, we're going to go. Piece of breaking news. This really is breaking news. I don't know if they got it in the previous hour. Doug La Follette resigned as Secretary of State. Doug La Follette, I knew him well, too. I know him well, too. Good man. Served as Secretary of State with the exception of 1 4-year period since 1974, almost 50 years. Great Secretary of State. And he resigned as of today. He resigned as of today. And Tony Evers, the governor, appointed Sarah Godlewski, as Secretary of State. She will serve the rest of his term, which happens to be almost 4 years, 3 years and 10 months or whatever it is. Well done. Well done, Doug La Follette. What's really very funny is the Republican candidate that he beat, has been whining and moaning and groaning. It's pretty clear what Doug La Follette did. Doug realized it was important. The Republicans wanted to get rid of the Secretary of State position and make it appointed by the governor. They were hoping for future Republican governors. And they weren't going to certify the winners of elections and a lot of other things. And Doug wouldn't have any of that. He ran. He may have been the only guy that could have won, but he did. And now, under Wisconsin law, Tony Evers has the power and the duty to appoint a successor, and no one better than Sarah Godlewski. She was elected state treasurer, so she's been elected in her own right. She ran for the Senate. That didn't work out. That's fine. She's young. Doug is 82 years old. She's 41 years old. Get some new blood in there before they get a Carrie Lake type on the Republican side or a Christine Noem or, you know, one of these types of people, and really hurt our democracy. So good for Doug LaFollette. I salute you, my friend. I've known you since the early 70s. You're a good man. You did a good job. Very well done. Good appointment of Sarah Godlewski. The lines are alive, and I'm, of course, going to get to a substantive issue. But before I do, I'll recognize the line. Allie of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling us in my day, Allie.
Hi, Matt. So I have a question. I'm looking at the ballot for the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court voting thing. Sorry, I can't think of the word. So there's four questions, and they're obviously all, like, worded to be confusing. The fourth question says, should the Wisconsin Constitution be amended to require a nonpartisan system for redistricting legislative and congressional districts in the state? I mean, we would say no to that or yes.
Good point. Yeah, let me respond. And then there's two things you should know. There are two referenda or questions put that are statewide because the state legislature passed them. One of them having to do with bail would be binding. It would be part of the Constitution. The other one, which has making people whom they call it welfare. I mean, they're calling it food stamps, you know, unemployment comp, give me a break. They threw that in to gin up their voters. That particular one, there already is a work requirement for unemployment comp and a lot of other things. So anything that the Republicans put on should absolutely be voted against because I don't trust them. However, what you're describing, each of the counties can put on their own resolutions. They're not binding. I mean, they're not binding statewide. They're not even binding on the county. For instance, in Milwaukee, there's a resolution that was put on by the Democrats to, in effect, restore Roe v. Wade. And so that's fine. That's good. You'd vote for that. What you're describing, Allie, and I'm going to make an educated guess over in Dane County, because I'm not familiar with the Dane County ballots, not right in front of me. But normally, when they say constitutional amendment, if it's proposed by the Republicans, it's almost certainly a fraud. It's almost certainly up to some skullduggery. However, if it says on its face a constitutional amendment to change the Wisconsin Constitution to permit, in effect, a fair maps commission like Iowa, I think that's a good idea. What I would suggest, because you're obviously going to be voting early, which is wonderful, I would suggest that you talk to either a legislature or somebody in Dane County and confirm that that is a resolution, is a proposition that was put on by people in good faith in the Democratic Party or independents who want fair maps, who don't want gerrymandering. And if it is, vote for it. And it sounds like it is. It's just that I get the willies. I get the shivers whenever I hear the word amending the Constitution, because the Republicans slip that in a lot when they want work requirements for Medicaid and food stamps, or they want to give somebody the shaft. And so that would be my answer. On the surface, it sounds fine. And it also sounds like one of those propositions that's floated in Dane County and not statewide. It wouldn't be binding. But that would be great. It would be a signal. But I am a cautious guy, Ali, and I would run that by somebody in Dane County who's familiar with how it got on there. And if it got on in good faith, I would vote for it. So thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate it. Now, what's going to be the effect of Doug LaFollette stepping down and retiring today? He did it masterfully. He did it masterfully. And now we have Sarah Godlewski. Because remember something, there were election deniers, MAGA Trumpers, who ran for Secretary of State in a lot of areas around the country. And some of them got in. And when you have somebody in like that, remember this. Joe Biden beat Donald Trump in 2020. And fortunately, we had Brian Hagedorn on the Supreme Court, who stood tall, even though he's a conservative, and voted to do the right thing. But it was 4-3. There were three justices who voted not to certify Joe Biden. Three of them. if you had put on the Secretary of State on that, because the Secretary of State is going to sign off on these certifications, if you had that on there, that raises the appearance of a legal issue, even though it's a fake. And the average person who is not a lawyer, does not listen to this show or any news show, might say, now, wait a minute. The big boys think there was a problem. Three justices thought there was a problem. There was no problem. They were sticking in the fix to help Trump and the Republican Party. You do not want, for instance, an attorney general and the Secretary of State piling on like that. Because if that ever happens, then when it goes up, you can have federal judges like the six tarantulas on the U.S. Supreme Court. You can have federal judges use that as an excuse and say, oh, well. You see what I mean? That's important. We're going to go to the lines. It's a few minutes before the break. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for going to my day, Wisco Paul.
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. Happy St. Patty's Day to you. I'm actually IBM, which is Irish by marriage, so I get to celebrate St. Patty's Day today myself. And it's too bad. I just want to mention this on kind of a happy note. It's too bad about the fallout, but my understanding is Sarah Gawlinski is being appointed as the Secretary of State. Am I correct? Is that correct?
That's correct, and she'll be a great one. She was the state treasurer. Oh. She has some chops. She got elected.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's absolutely. Well, that's a great day for Wisconsin, then. And again, thanks for taking my call, and have a great day. It's your day today, man. So.
Yeah, I know. Adios. I have my green sweater on. You can't see it because you're not on Facebook. But happy St. Patrick's Day, Paul. I appreciate you calling. Yeah, Doug LaFollette knew what he was doing. And Evers knew what he was doing. And frankly, thank you, Sarah Gawlinski, for stepping up to the plate. The other thing it does is keeps her in the mix as a potential candidate for other office in the future. We have a deep bench. And it's very, very good to see that she's still in the mix. But she's honest. She will certify whichever candidate wins, even if it's a Republican. And the Republicans won't do that. That's why we got to have fair maps, and that's why we need Janet Protasiewicz on the Supreme Court. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. I'm fixing a hole where the rain. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Before we go to the next topic, we're going to go to the lines. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andy. What's in your mind today?
Well, Matt, have a happy St. Patrick's Day and go down to the Roman coin and have a green beer. Enjoy yourself. But
I will do that.
The reason I called is, you know, when it comes to attorney generals over the years, one that really stands out was Robert Kennedy, you know, and I, as I think of that, somebody with backbone and with everything else. And if you go over, you know, you go to Nixon's, I forget what Nixon was. Didn't his attorney general go to jail?
Yeah, Mitchell. Remember, Mitchell went to prison as a felon. That's right.
That's right. And then, of course, you had Reagan. I think, wasn't there a Reagan attorney general for Ronald Reagan? Can't remember. But Eric Holder. Jeff Sessions, wow, what a prize. Merrick Garland. But the point is, now when we really need an attorney general that's, you know, going to put this guy on the hot seat, you know, we can't seem to make any headway on it, you know. And I realize they have to cross the T's and dot the I's, but it baffles me that now over 2 years from the election, Donald Trump is still hopping around and denying right. any guilt of it. And some of the things he did was so blatant that, you know, it's unreal.
Here's the deal, Andy. The the prosecutor with the most guts right now is Fannie Willis down in Atlanta. She's terrific. The grand jury about threatening Raffensperger with criminal prosecution if he didn't forge some ballots. She's terrific, and I expect that she's going to proceed down there. Alvin Bragg, I wasn't big on, but now it looks like he might go forward with an indictment in New York, and good for him. There's no attorney generals in the state that have gone, or any state, that have gone after the fake electors, and neither is Garland. Garland could go after the fake electors. He could also go after the thing with Raffensperger. I think he's too cautious. I personally think he sees himself as a Supreme Court justice, and he wants to be nice to everybody. And what really ticked me off about the guy, all right, so he has a special prosecutor for Trump on the stolen documents. Some had nuclear information in them. And then Pence and Biden each had a few classified documents, and he appoints a special prosecutor for Biden, but not Pence. And Biden didn't do anything, and it makes it, I mean, I think that was a bad appointment. And unfortunately, we're stuck with the guy. Andy, thanks a lot for calling. Okay, I'm going to answer the quiz. Okay, you have Pat Lucy, Bill Proxmire, Gaylord Nelson. What did they all have in common? They each had Irish mothers. Each of their mothers was of Irish descent. The gift of gab, and they ended up being great statesmen. Disturbing development in the state Supreme Court race. Janet Protasiewicz has been terrific, but this Kelly, there's an op-ed that's coming out today electronically, so it'll be in the printed paper, I assume, tomorrow or Sunday. There is a group, there is a bipartisan business group, Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy, bipartisan, and they're pledged to support Democratic principles, and they ask all candidates, especially for judge, do they support Democratic principles? They sent these questionnaires to Janet Protasiewicz and Dan Kelly. Janet Protasiewicz came back and said, I do. I will vote to certify whoever wins the presidential election in 2024. She said one of the reasons that brought her into the race was because it was a 4-3 decision to certify Joe Biden when he won. And that is contemptible. How can three Supreme Court justices not vote to certify the guy who won? Kelly blew them off. Dan Kelly wouldn't respond, didn't acknowledge he received it. Now, this is the Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy, and the people who signed it, I know, substantial people, and Kelly goes, he won't even acknowledge he got it from him. What, they have to serve him with process? Or what? They have to send a certified mail and get a signature? What? What's going on here? They issued a statement. It says, Kelly has refused to engage in a civil dialogue on basic questions of democracy and election law. This is troubling at best and disqualifying at worst. These are people with substantial businesses. And they're issuing a bipartisan statement. Quote, Dan Kelly's refusal to engage in a civil dialogue on basic questions of democracy and election law is troubling at best and disqualifying at worst. And they made the point, what they were really concerned about was that he has been paid by the Republican Party to get involved in the state, the fake electors business and all that. They would like to know, I'd like to know, is he still getting paid? Or does he have a promise or a wink or a handshake that if he loses this race, he'll get paid? They said, we don't want a partisan on the Supreme Court of either party. And that's extremely important. That message has got to get out. If Dan Kelly goes on, you will have a Republican partisan, a staffer, Republican staff on the Supreme Court. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Lines are open. Donald Trump did something just now, issued a 3-minute video on Truth Social, which is his social media link, that surprised even me that he would go this far. Here's what he said. Quote, he said that America is a godless nation. America, the United States, is a godless nation and a bigger threat than Russia. He went on to say, quote, the greatest threat to Western civilization today is not Russia. It's ourselves and some of the horrible USA-hating people that represent us. It's the entire globalist neocon establishment. They do more damage than Russia or China could ever do. He attacks our own country. Then he said that if he is elected president, he will, quote, review and reevaluate the mission of NATO and our presence in NATO. And then he went on to say, Ukraine is a vital concern for Europe, but not the United States. Here is my concern, and I have many of them, of course, about this guy. He is a traitor to the United States. He's not for the United States. He's for Russia. And why do I say that? You might look at it and say, Matt, the guy's an American, so he can't be that bad. Well, I just read to you what he said, that the United States is a godless nation, bigger threat than Russia. These are his words. And the greatest threat to Western civilization today is not Russia, it's ourselves. And we do more damage than Russia or China could ever do. And he throws in China. And he's going to review and reevaluate our presence in NATO and says Ukraine is a vital concern for Europe, but not the United States. This is more than isolationism. This is more than 1930s isolationism. This is a nation committing suicide if you put this guy in as president of the United States again. And what is the reason for it? Why is he doing this? And as I was thinking back, do you remember, and this was pointed out to me by someone, do you remember that Helsinki press conference he did when he was president and Putin was sitting next to him and a journalist said, the CIA and the FBI say that Putin hacked into and interfered with the 2016 election. What do you think? And he shrugs, turns to Putin. He says, well, Putin says he didn't do it. And why would he? And he trusted Putin. But if you look at the video, he's afraid of Putin. And Putin looks at him in a menacing way. Look at the video in a menacing way. And I think it really has come down to this. The Russians, the Russian mafia, have lent hundreds of millions of dollars over the years to Trump, and he hasn't paid them back. They are a mafia. Nobody in Russia has hundreds of millions of dollars unless he's part of the Russian mafia, and Putin is the head of it. Over in Russia, people fall out of windows, quite a bit, almost 40 of them, except for the one that got strangled by a belt. The other one got garroted in a car. Two others got knifed to death along with their wives and daughters. People die in accidents. People are poisoned. If we elect Donald Trump as president, we're electing somebody who's afraid of Putin. He owes him a lot of money because he's afraid of being assassinated by Putin. You may say, well, he has security now. Yeah, he has security now. People that got killed in Russia had security too. he'd have more security as president, but his relatives don't have security, not like that, and his grandkids. And the Russian mafia are sadists, and they will kill. Trump on his face, the fear he showed for Putin in Helsinki. Look at it. Constantly sucking up to Putin. I think he's afraid of assassination by the Russians because he owes them a lot of money and he can't pay it. He, as much as said in this video, that he will remove us from NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and abandon Europe. Now, Russia has as many or slightly more nuclear weapons than we do, but they're afraid of us because their weapons are rusty. They've stolen the technology. Their people are crooks. They fired off multi-missiles in a test from a submarine, and they didn't go off because their equipment is defective. But they did it again in another submarine. It did work. The nuclear weapons available other than the United States to Europe are the UK and France. They don't have anything near like the Russian arsenal. And they have very, very reluctant governments to use anything or even defend themselves. Russia is afraid of the United States. Trump is afraid of Putin. He attacks the United States whenever he can. Trump does. Putin does. And on Ukraine, Trump would immediately stop any arms shipments to Ukraine, ensuring that Russia would go in, rape as many women as they want. They already have in the occupied territories. Kidnap more kids. Kill all of the intelligentsia, all of the politicians, all of the priests, especially the Roman Catholic priests, but even some priests who are Greek Orthodox as opposed to Russian Orthodox, and turn it into a slave state like Russia has become itself. Now you may say, all right, well, Trump is not going to be nominated. Oh, really? Because there's DeSantis. Oh, really? Well, DeSantis is running the dumbest campaign of anybody I've ever seen. All he has to do is differentiate himself on one or two issues from Trump. He can mouth off on and on about a lot of social issues. But all he has to do is saying, along with every Republican and Democratic president since the Second World War, Russia is evil. Russia is our enemy. And you can say it nicer than that. I'm on the radio. I'm not the guy that's the diplomat, but you can say it nicer than that. And under no circumstances will we let them set foot in a NATO country, and we will rearm Europe as we have. We did it, frankly, after the Second World War, and we've just redone it again. He would not do that. But DeSantis isn't doing that either. DeSantis, when he was a member of Congress in the House of Representatives, said, Russia is bad and we have to stand by Ukraine. He's flipped around. He's flipped around now and is saying it's not in our interest to help Ukraine. As another thing about DeSantis you've got to keep in mind, the people, and it has a consequence, the people in the Republican Party are saying this, not me. This was reported in Peggy Noonan's article in the Wall Street Journal. She was Ronald Reagan's press secretary. And she said what they're saying is, some of them saying that DeSantis has one toe on the spectrum. And also his reputation in the Republican Party is this, quote, he would unplug your life support to charge his cell phone. I got news for you. A guy like that is not going to attract supporters. He's not going to attract volunteers who are real enthusiastic about the guy. He's a weirdo. And one of them described in an interview the other day, some of his staffers, I'm not a professional to examine him, but there's not atypical of people with a toe on the spectrum. He's sort of obsessed about food, eats ravenously without anybody paying any attention to anybody around him. And more importantly, he was on an airplane. He was served some pudding and he ate it with his fingers. The Republican Party is not going to nominate somebody who eats pudding with his fingers. Or, as the description went, attacks his food like a ravenous wolf and pays no attention to anybody around him, is dour and sullen and frowning, and he yells at reporters. One press conference they showed the other day, reporter asks him a question, and he shouts at her and yells at her. Never seen him smile, always frowning. So here you have a full-blown traitor to the United States, Trump, afraid of assassination by Putin, owing the Russian mafia hundreds of millions of dollars, saying he's going to pull us out of NATO. And the clown DeSantis goes along with the attacks on Ukraine, flips, does a 180, and he's a flat-out weirdo. And everybody goes, oh, my God, I don't really like either one of these guys. You say, okay, well, Joe Biden can beat either one of these guys. Yeah, I agree with that. But there's nothing certain in this world. Joe Biden will be our nominee. But what would happen if Kamala Harris is our nominee? Or J.B. Pritzker or Gavin Newsom? I want to say this again. It is important to everybody out there who's an independent or even a Republican. There's a couple of things we'll put up with, but one of them is not having a president who says that we're a problem, we're a godless nation, and worse than Russia and China. He's going to pull us out of NATO. We will not tolerate that. We're also not going to tolerate a weirdo who eats pudding with his fingers and has one toe on the spectrum. We're not putting up with that either. We're going to the breaks. We're going to the lines. Jake of Eureka, California, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Jake.
I'd be happy to have either one of those Florida fascists as the Republican nominee, because nobody from Florida is getting elected president in 2024. In fact, it appears God has spoken. There's a 5,000-mile blob of seaweed headed straight towards Florida's beaches, which apparently is going to destroy their entire beach season in 2023. There's already feet of this stinking, algae that's, smells of sulfur. Basically, the entire state's going to smell like hell. It's already, ruled by demons. I guess that kind of makes sense for Florida to have the scent of hell on it. But this is, of course, the place where they constantly attack, my home state. Anytime there's a natural disaster of some kind in California, it's because, according to these evangelical preachers and televangelists and other charlatans.
Yeah, no, Jake, I appreciate you calling in, but we're talking about Ukraine right now, and I'm glad to hear you say that you don't mind either one of these guys being nominated. And yeah, theoretically, they're quite weak. I agree. But I think we've got to keep that message up, because bad things happen by accident. And that's what I am most concerned about. And then we'll talk about the environmental stuff in another segment. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Todd or Billy, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Todd or Billy?
Hey, Matt, I'm just thinking about, I get concerned when I hear people criticizing the Supreme Court in general. I think pretty highly of three of the justices on the Supreme Court and three justices who recently left the Supreme Court in the last several years. I heard a commentator, Ellie Honig, who I generally think has some good insights, say that, the Supreme Court has become, partisan, and that the liberals are actually worse than the conservatives in terms of their partisanship. You do sometimes see Roberts and Kavanaugh going with the liberals, but he said you never see the liberals going with the conservatives on a close decision. But I don't buy that. I kind of feel like that's like saying, well, Democrats are more partisan than Republicans because, at least a few Republicans went along with impeaching Trump, whereas no Democrats have gone along with impeaching Biden or Obama. That's because there would be no reason to. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Todd or Billy. And there's a little time, very little before the break. I'll respond a little. And then after the break, when it comes to the Supreme Court, it's not true that some of the liberals didn't side with the conservatives. Most people don't know the full range of Supreme Court opinions, and several of them have done that. We got to go to a break right now. Everybody else, stay on the line. I'll get to you after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. I want to give one final response to Todd or Billy. Most cases that are bipartisan in some respect, and I'm talking about criminal and a lot of others, the kind of cases that we're all fixating on and appropriately are thinking, for instance, the repeal of Roe v. Wade, that kind of thing, that's the tip of the iceberg. So the liberal justices do frequently side with some of the conservative justices. And sometimes there's really an odd mix where you have a couple of liberals and a couple of conservatives on either side. Now, the second thing, though, that I think is a legitimate concern is we do need a Supreme Court. And if we tear the Supreme Court down totally, then people aren't going to respect even in the decisions they should be making in a lot of other areas. And I'm very conscious of that. But I've got to speak out about the six tarantulas simply because one of their cases was going to deprive us of the right to vote for president. Now it looks like they're backing off a little bit. I'm going to keep up the attack. It's important that you're going to know all these facts. Going to the lines, Sue of Racine, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Sue?
Calling about the three referendum questions on our upcoming ballot. All three of them are worded so strangely, and I can't decide if they're just trying to trick us or if they're, I don't know. I want your opinion on all three of them, and I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Well, Sue, here's the deal. There's 72 counties in the state, and there are two of them that are going to be on every ballot in the state because they're passed by the state legislature. And then the rest of them are what I call local ones that are put on by the local county boards or whatever, and they can be conservative or liberal depending on the county. So let's take the two that are statewide. One of them is about cash bail. And without getting into all the details of it, the reason I don't like it is twofold. One, it's the Republican Party in a gerrymandered legislature that passed it, and that always makes me suspicious. And secondly, it talks about cash bail, but it really doesn't go far enough. In the federal system, which is the one I like, if somebody is truly a danger, a terrorist, or, you know, he's going to kill his wife and no restraining order will stop him, they can keep him in jail without any bail at all. And in a peculiar case, that's essential. So I think it's an insufficient one, and I wouldn't vote for it. The other one that's statewide is a crazy one that said people on welfare should have to work. That is a typical mantra of the Republican Party, and there already is a work requirement or to sign up for it for a lot of public benefits, including unemployment comp. You've got to look for work. But what they're talking about here is things like food stamps and Medicaid. You have a single mom with two kids, and what? You're not going to give the kids any food because the mom can't work because she has no child care? Give me a break. So anything like that, I would vote against it because an illegitimate, gerrymandered Republican legislature passed it. Now, I don't know what your third one is, Sue, down in Racine. I know Dane County has a couple of others. I know Milwaukee has one, restoring Roe v. Wade. So what I would do, quite frankly, is talk to your alderman and just... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It is actually listed as number one here. Conditions of release before conviction.
Yeah, and that would be the bail one, and that is a constitutional amendment. I personally am not going to vote for that. So, Sue, thanks a lot for calling in. Please do it in the future. I really appreciate your call. Joy of East Troy, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Joy? Joy of East Troy.
Right. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Joy.
Okay.
What's that?
So, I was on this app. It's called Nextdoor Neighborhood or something like that. Doesn't seem to have many rules, and occasionally people go off the deep end. What's going around on there now, and I'm sure I've seen this someplace else. I thought maybe on TV, where our Supreme Court candidate, Janet, last name I can't pronounce, has...
Jennifer Osewicz, yeah. She's,
yeah. Right. Has allegedly beat up on a former husband, according to a former stepson. Have you read or heard anything like this?
No, I can't. You know, the Republican Party, there is no depth to its depravity. Why do I say that? Why do I say there's no depth to its depravity? Because it's against democracy, and they always do stuff. They come 2 weeks before the election. By the way, folks, the Supreme Court election is 2 weeks from Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. 2 weeks! And you can start voting in-person absentee then. You can obviously do mail absentee, or you can show up on election day, but be sure to vote. I've known Janet Protasiewicz since I was state party chairman. She was a member of the Young Democrats. And this goes back to 1981. She was very active in Jerry Klitschko's campaigns. Terrific person, hardworking, went to UWM and got a very, very, did a good degree, worked. And then she went to Marquette Law School, and she was a prosecutor for over 20 years. I think it was 26 years, actually, but it was well over 20. Prosecuted murders, prosecuted sexual assaults, gang violence, people who try to kill witnesses. She is very, very firm. And very, very fair. And she's been reelected a judge now. She's in her second term. Excellent judge. And her character is unblemished. I mean, if you take a look at Kelly and some of the things he did, he took almost $120,000, and we didn't learn about it right away. He announced for the Supreme Court, and $40,000 of it came in after he announced, And some of it came in December, and he will not answer my question. And more importantly, the question of a bipartisan business group, are you still getting money from them? And is there a wink or a promise that you're going to get money if you lose the race? I got to know that. The guy was their lawyer to help them gin up the fake elector scheme. He is a Republican staffer. He is a Republican operative. You might as well put the chairman of the Republican Party on the Supreme Court. What do you think that guy's going to do if a question comes up? Should we certify the Democratic candidate? What if Biden runs against Trump again and wins again? They will not. He will vote not to certify Joe Biden. He will vote not to get rid of the unfair maps, the gerrymandered maps, and put in fair maps. He's already said it. He said, what's wrong with the maps? Yeah, what's wrong with the map? He's also the clown that went around the state with Gableman. And they try to gin up fraud, and they lied about it. Joy, thanks a lot for calling in. I hope you call in a lot in the future. We're coming to the end of the show. It's a great show. Great callers, as always. Everybody, have a good weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Matt Flynn Direct will be back on Monday, same time, same place.